It's Tuesday evening, June 15th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our meeting. Again, that your spirit would flow, that your truth would flow, Lord. That we would have ears to recognize your truth, hear your truth, O Lord. And that you would anoint our mouths to express your truths, Lord. By your spirit, you do that good work. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Only that would happen all the time.
Probably does. We just ain't paying attention.
It happens a lot.
happens a lot.
I agree.
I'm still being affected by that setting that we were on. About the new covenant, the old covenant.
Sunday nights.
Yeah, Sunday morning. You know. You know, I was thinking some more. Another big difference with the new covenant is I don't believe anywhere in the old covenant they were actually had the Spirit of God in them. It says the Spirit was on me to speak or whatever, you know. I mean, now, I'm open to that. I didn't research to find out, but I don't remember ever seeing that said in the Old Testament. So that, for one, is a tremendous upgrade for God to do, you know, that he said, I will put my Spirit in you. So then I got thinking, and I was listening in my car, the truck, and I heard this setting, and it was in, I think it was in 1 John, but first I'm going to read John 14. And you know, we, or no, it's not 14, it's 9. 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not. So, believe, and then in 11 again, it says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of... So, we've always thought that was, I mean, that's a special, unique thing that he had, right? Because he was in the Father, and the Father in him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I was listening in 1 John. Guess what? We got the same thing. I mean, we just don't think about it. I mean, we know that we have the Spirit of God in us, but I've never felt like I was in God. Well, I got a couple of them. One of them, the first one here isn't quite as clear, but let's see. So at first it's talking about, and this could be talking about Jesus, so starts in 1 John 2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Now, I think that was Jesus, probably, because he's the propitiation, and it never changed. But then when you go over to chapter 2:24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. And then I think it says it again, even more. Okay. Yeah, over in chapter 4. No one has, 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Mm. And that just, I thought, wow, I never thought I had the same position as Jesus. In that regard, I just thought that was a special thing, you know.
Well, you know, in John 17, the Gospel of John, chapter 17, there's us and him, and thou and me. You know, there is that blending of the three.
That's why I read in 14, because that's where it first started. But I didn't get to the part in 17. You know, I was just looking for some kind of.
But record. It is. It's all a part, isn't it?
It's all. But, I mean, here it kind of just, it says it as an individual, more or less.
Uh-huh.
You know, then it's saying we and us, you know.
Yes, it is a glorious thing that is available.
So, all of that is all because of that new covenant. I'm really beginning to be very much more grateful for the new covenant.
The new covenant. Huh?
Yeah, it's really having an effect a little bit on my internal being.
Yeah.
My spiritual being or whatever.
We just need to grab a hold of it and say, these words say this. I am going to accept that these words mean this.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, and I kind of, you know, we would just say, yeah, we're in the new covenant. You just kind of, you didn't think on it. You just, yeah, we're in the new covenant. You know, isn't that, and this new covenant is great, it's this. But I never dwelt on it. Like what's happened in the last couple weeks.
Right.
Or a week. And when I just, it was like the Spirit made me dwell on it. You know, and it's, I just have a whole new appreciation for God doing that new covenant. It's way more than I ever thought of it. It's a lot. That new covenant is a lot.
Well, especially since it tells us that he should do away with the first one.
Yeah.
He did not abolish the old covenant. And that's hard to realize, but he's the one doing it, not us.
Right.
And I mean, we've kind of taken it for granted, you know, that, we got born again, we got filled with the Spirit. Well, guess what? For 4,000 years, those people didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So you don't want to think it's just some, oh yeah, that's good. Treat it lightly. It's a major.
Yeah, are we? Major. And we do. We up just come
at home.
Yeah.
Corbin's. Okay. Sounds good. Yep. Bye-bye. Sorry.
Corey.
My son.
What is kind of interesting, or what sticks out to me is, King James, the original, whomsoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God.
Yeah.
That's not a particularly high bar. No.
I didn't take
it personal this time. Uh-huh. But, but no, I mean, really, all it takes is a declaration that you have faith that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yeah.
I mean, all who confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, that leaves a lot of people out because a lot of people won't do that. You know, and then once you do that, that sets up the relationship and how the Spirit can work and how God dwells in you and you dwell in God. By doing so, you basically are kind of putting your soul on notice to the Lord, to the Father, that you're on the path.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying you've gotten through the gate, or I'm not saying...
No, I'm understanding where you're coming
but
from.
But it's kind of like you can't, you know, to get to this condition, you have to confess He's the Son of God. And
you don't have to do any works.
It's not how many Bible studies you have to.
Nothing.
It's like a little child say, you're the Son of God.
Yeah.
I mean, it just kind of struck me like, man, that's not like, you know, 12 novenas. I mean, the Catholics, you know, 20 days without water, you know. I mean, it's just a declaration. It's kind of like being born again. You just have to be born again. You know? And then there are things that happen with that. And you want to be in the right place and understand. But for something as important as eternal life and what you want to happen and to kind of start working in the same, for lack of a better term, orbit as Jesus. Now, I mean, no one's saying that we have the fullness of God dwelling within us because we don't have the relationship with the Father that we want to have or that Jesus had. But
it's like it's a beginning of abiding.
I think it's the first step.
Yeah.
You declare and then you go from there.
I wonder, to confess that He is the Son of God, on the one hand, that makes Him more than a good man, but also it means that He is not God, too.
Well,
so you have to have your understanding straight on that one.
Yeah, exactly. It's a big deal, but I think a lot of people have it wrong because I think the Trinity gets in there and messes it up.
Yeah, it's, you know, I thought when did Christianity start coming around again? You know, because it was in the dark for ages. And even when they were going around conquering in the name of Christianity, it wasn't Christianity. I mean, you know, if we look at, like we said, they were still dealing like the Old Testament. Like, well, we're right and we're going to wipe you out because you're heathens, you know, or whatever. If you don't convert, you know. Well, so I don't know when the first real, like, major move of God in the Spirit was.
I think a lot happened with Martin Luther and the Reformation. Not that it was perfect. It wasn't, you know.
But, yeah, maybe that could be when it finally started turning somewhat. So
I'm not sure, but what there wasn't always little points of light throughout.
Well, there might have been. They're just probably not recorded.
It's not, it's not the kind of thing that would get recorded.
That doesn't mean there weren't, but I'm saying overall.
It was, right.
Well, then, even then, the devil tainted it with the Trinity, you know, and just that throws a wrench in it all, because still you're not with true understanding, if that's where you're at. Well, I mean, that sounds kind of harsh, I'm sorry, but that's kind of where He's brought us to, you know. You have to know who Jesus is.
But when the sun lays its hand in darkness, I've seen a great light. That could happen and a lot of different times.
Mm-hmm.
It happened at the time of Jesus, but it can happen. Well, I'm trying to tie into the lake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think God's coming to a place of opening truth up, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's going to give everyone the opportunity again, like he did for us, you know, to receive the truth.
Yeah.
But it might be the last time. You don't know. I mean, for individuals, it could go, you know, it could go, who knows? He could give him lots of money. That's up to him. You know, that's his grace. But sooner or later, in the end, it's going to be one profound move, I believe. And then I think he's going to say, that's it. You know?
Well, if we read Joel chapter 2, right, there has to be a time when God's going to do something great.
Yeah.
And he heard his voice before his army. And they're not going to hurt each other.
It's going to cause an awful lot of disruption, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I kind of think that's going to be the end. Close to the end. Before there was the Garden of Eden, and behind them was a desolate wasteland.
Funny way of expressing it.
Yeah.
Well, in God's eyes, I don't think there's a whole lot much of this earth, this world worth keeping. So talk about kind of like eternal life and the Garden of Eden,
mm-hmm.
looking back and leaving desolation. But
mm-hmm.
maybe that's too simple
a
world
well,
picture.
That's I think that what you just said is conveyed in that expression. Sure, there have been people stumbled over the years, though. What? Wreck the Garden of Eden? We don't want to do that. And leave a desolate wasteland? What is wrong here, you know? This Joel's army doesn't sound good at all to me.
Well, but it's saying before them.
Yeah.
A Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get wrecked.
What? They get... They're on the move.
Yeah,
they're,
but it's saying with them, the Garden of Eden is with them going forward, leaving desolation behind. Isn't that how it says it?
It would have to be that.
I always understood it to be, you know, they're going to make this Garden of Eden before them, like the desolation just...
I thought it was saying
desolation behind them, but
they
I don't know. I guess now that you've expressed it, Ken, it makes me wonder.
Well, I'm not. That's why I think maybe we should just read it.
Yeah, that's a new thought.
we could sit here and guess for.
Yeah, one. Right. No, right when that started, I thought I think we need to look it up.
Joel 2, you said?
I can't even find Joel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not one that we're in a lot.
Where's my list of the books? Look at that. Doesn't this one have it? It is. I just opened up to it. There's Joe.
You got the touch,
right?
It's after Hosea.
Yeah, we need him. Okay.
Yeah.
It's nice when you can do that, isn't it?
You're lucky.
Joel 2. Yeah, it starts in 3, doesn't it? Verse 3.
Yeah. Kind of read that. Skipped over. Come
on, I'm still not sure exactly what how it's saying that, I guess.
The fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth.
The land is like the Garden of Eden before them.
What verses?
Joel 2, 3.
Yeah.
Joel 2.
Joel 2, verse 3.
Oh. Okay.
What is it after?
Hosea. It's
yes, Hosea. It's after Hosea and before.
It's way late in the Old Testament. I was thinking it was way earlier, almost towards the end.
Mm-hmm. The last like 10 books in the Old Testament. Yeah. Testaments that are kind of short.
Yeah. Same with the minor prophets, are they called? I don't know. The last few. But kind of like, let's see, even back in 2. Like the morning clouds spread over the mountains, a people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devours before them, behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Well, I don't know, Charlie.
Mm.
It could be that they're just devouring everything.
Yeah. And before them goes out the fire, behind them a fire burns. So it's kind of like we torched it on the way and it's burning after we continue on.
Yeah, but it might be just more expression than anything.
Well, it's got to mean something, though. It looks like a great disruption to me.
Yeah, because it says the land before them that a fire is devouring is as the Garden of Eden, and behind them is a desolate wilderness. So after the fire tears through the Garden of Eden, it's a desolate wilderness.
Yeah, I was thinking that because they were this mighty people, they had, you know, this Garden of Eden with their in front of them but I don't think that's it. I think it is that they. Even if it looks like the Garden of Eden, it gets destroyed.
Well, that kind of goes back to something we said a little bit earlier about a new earth and nothing of value in the Lord's eyes. But, you know, because, I mean, chapter, you know, verse 1 kind of sounds like the trumpet, you know, for the day of the Lord cometh, the trumpet, you know, the trumpet heard around the world. As a second coming or the coming of the Lord.
Well, you keep reading, and they're quite the people.
Yeah. they enter in at the windows. Like a thief.
Climb the wall like men of war.
Right.
Everyone marches in formation. They do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city, they run on the wall, they climb into the houses. Oh, yeah, they enter at the windows like thieves. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? I took the liberty.
It says the mighty thing.
Yeah.
And they're mighty in the Lord.
Yep.
I jumped over the next page and said, blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast.
Keith, a computer brain of yours pulls it right out. Yeah, Joel 2. Well, what do you mean you're not familiar with Joel 2? What do you mean? Joel 2 what?
Well, I remember I remembered the sort of the aspect of it, but that part there, I just made an assumption, you know. Wasn't necessarily a correct one.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's natural. Obviously, gardens of Eden are better than desolate wastelands.
Yeah.
You know, so it.
But I'm thinking, well, if before them there were people in a Garden of Eden, they wouldn't be wanting to destroy probably those people. Well, maybe that is it, because it says it's like the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, right.
It's
a nice orderly arrangement, but if it's ungodly,
yeah, right.
The order.
Yeah, it's like, no, this army's going through and just
wasting,
taking the whole works.
Taking no prisoners.
Right.
Well, you could look at it as, because it says like a Garden of Eden, which means in the natural, this is a pretty neat thing. Everything's good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in God's eyes, this is corruption.
Needs to be destroyed, yeah.
Right, debt of iniquity stuff. And these people that you're referring to, you know, you kind of look and I'm going, kind of angel stuff, angelistic, in a way they leap tall buildings in a single bound kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
verse 28 is, spoken by Peter and the Ephesians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your son and your daughter shall for all prophesy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Verse 21 says, "Fear not, a lamb, for the lamb. Be glad and rejoice, for the lamb. The Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up. And the tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month."
Yeah, I tell you, as I'm looking, if you just start in chapter 2 and just keep reading, it gets good, keeps getting better and better.
He just flips there, though, doesn't he? You know, he it is a picture of real lush, real, you know, prosperity or something in the natural.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like we didn't... when you read past where I stopped, kind of, now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart. This is 12. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart. Rend your heart, that's interesting. And not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Then it goes, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate it. And then he starts working for the good of his people, you know. Mm-hmm. He starts the blessing, I think, or whatever. Mm. That's all that follows. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot said in that chapter.
Man, it goes on for a while, too. Your young man shall see visions, yeah.
We're quite familiar with snippets of it. We
yeah.
sang it in songs. And
a lot of good promises there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a hopeful message being expressed there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, 2-2 and 2-3 basically talk about a purification going on.
Mm-hmm.
A cleansing.
Purification by fire, but yes, yeah. Purification. Yeah.
That sounds like a new earth.
Well, it, yeah, kind of loops back, doesn't it? It's kind of like what needs to be done in order for these other things to take place.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we need to be available for that cleansing.
Well, I don't know, but I see a suspicion that we're going to see one of the mightiest revivals we've ever seen. And I don't know.
Well, it kind of seems we're getting awfully close to something like that.
If we see this chapter 2 of Joel, it'll be one of the mightiest revivals. That,
yeah.
You know,
for sure.
Yeah. I do get a kick out of the, you know, the Welsh revival. All the taverns shut down. You know?
Yeah.
Well,
is that recent or
no? That was way back.
Maybe just a lack of customers, whatever.
Yeah, but when what that was?
Quite oh, that was about 1900. Yeah. I think I'm right, aren't I, Keith? About that time.
Yeah, it was in there somewhere. Yeah, about the same as Azusa Street.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
And then I remember hearing the one guy who would ride his horse town to town, and like he went into one and there was a factory in textile or something like that, or you know, there and he went in and the spirit fell and they all were just on their face repenting, you know.
I think I was praying hydro.
I don't know. I can't remember who the guy was, but.
That's being accompanied by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, we didn't. I mean, we kind of knew what was happening, but I don't think we fully comprehended and got the full gist. But, you know, in the beginning, when there was just the move of love, remember people would come back from being at Heckles and say, people were coming up saying, what is it about you? You know, I mean, people were being affected. It was just coming out of us, different ones at different times, you know.
Yeah.
And it was obvious that people noticed it. They just,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was something they'd never seen or felt or whatever. It was the presence of the Lord.
That was an inward move within the church.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's out.
Yeah.
You know.
The old Pentecostals used to say, it's better felt than dealt.
Yeah.
probably true.
Yeah.
Better to feel it than just be told it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet, not everyone will find it appealing. There'll be those who just become hateful in response.
I hope I didn't cut off that you had more there, Glenn. I didn't. I kind of, kind of somewhat interrupted.
No, oh, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll talk about this later.
I won't.
Black mark.
Okay. It was good to hear you read that whole part. That was good stuff. That's
good stuff.
Well, the way that it's going right now in this world, it's like I said before, the old saying, stop the world, I want to get off.
Yeah.
And the more you find, the more you hear what's going on and right now, today, the more I feel like I really need to get off. You know?
Well, if the Spirit of the Lord moves in a mighty way so that a great fire comes and, you know, purifies it all, then that's, you know, that's the way that the Lord responds to the kind of mess that there is out there.
Yeah, and I don't know if I really fully understand or visualize how tough this is going to be when it comes to that point. You know, how much of a challenge it's going to be for each and all of every one of us. You know, and I know I have to get a whole lot stronger in the faith than what I am, because I don't know, it's not. It's scary, you know.
You know, Glenn, it might be that the Spirit of the Lord just is upon you in such a mighty way that you will just be able to do mighty things, and it won't be you doing the mighty things. It will, you will be triumphant in the Lord, and it won't be a matter of, I need more. You won't need anything more. You'll have all the things that you need, it'll be right there, you know? That's what I see for you. Yeah, until it happens, we don't conceive that anything like that can happen. But boy, when it happens, I don't think, whether we do or, you know, we're never going to measure up. We're never going to measure up in ourselves. We're never going to measure up. We just won't. But that doesn't keep us from doing mighty things when the Spirit of the Lord is mighty within us.
But I think it's a good place to be. I don't know how or why God would use me where I'm at. So you're not worried about pride. You're not worried about those things you're saying. I don't think that'd be good enough. You know, I don't know how God could use me. As Charlie says, well, probably won't be the problem you have. God's going to use you. He'll lift you up. He'll make sure. You're talking, I was thinking, even Moses pushed back and said, I really can't do this.
Yeah.
And God got around that, but he still used Moses, so.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more of how he's going to do it and confound us. Because, I mean, the first thing you think would happen now is if someone heard a trumpet, and then someone heard a trumpet, you know, five states away, and then someone heard a trumpet in the Philippines that they were hearing that same trumpet. And Russia, they're going, you know, how long does it before the internet just blows up, or it's just God just stops at working? You know, it's like, you know, here you are. It doesn't really matter what's going on here. It's here are. So, you know, it's kind of that song, I can only imagine. There's some really good questions there. Can't contain your joy, or in awe you can't do anything to express your joy. Where are you going to land? So.
Yeah.
You know, I've been noticing when you go back and find little choice spots like this in Joel, it has a lot more impact, doesn't it?
Mm.
Didn't it tonight when you were reading?
Just seeing it now, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. See, and I think that's the Lord granting us, you know, what he has been, so that when you go back, he just enlightens things
mm-hmm.
now
yeah.
a lot more than before.
And why would he put his light on Joel, second chapter of Joel, if it didn't have some significance for what's coming up? You know? Just doing it for fun? Is that why he's doing it? I don't quite see that happening.
No.
I know.
And and that's why I think he's enlightened that area in, it's in Hebrews, isn't it? Where, yeah, it's the
yeah,
New Covenant and the Old Covenant. And
yeah. Hebrews 8 and Hebrews
yeah, 8. Because that's, see, most of the church has no concept of the covenant, the real one.
You
no.
know, there's some aspects of that covenant that are super vital. Very important.
Yeah.
You shall all, they shall all know me from the least to the greatest.
Yes.
And
amen.
He does say there's a possibility that they'll know me. He said they shall all know me.
Shall know him.
And I tell you what, I think for what it's worth, that the only way that you can know God is by his word. You'll never know him in this life, you'll never know him any other way. And so he has given us that word with a good relationship with it. And through it we get to know his qualities, his nature, his divine nature. It would become partakers of his divine nature. Isn't that what it says? By these exceedingly great and precious promises. We become partakers of his divine nature. Well, is that not what we want?
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I think back when people, no, we just need the Spirit. We want more Spirit. I got to be in the Spirit. You know what? You can't if you're not in this word, because what happens is this other spirit starts melting into there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
You know? And then
subject
it's
to deception,
spirit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, you think about that. If you think it all's going to happen by the Spirit, that means that then there's nothing really keeping you in check if you're not relying on this word of God.
But
you
know? You're going to have our good feelings. Well, good feelings can certainly be counterfeited by the devil.
Yes, that's what I mean. It's so it makes it so easy to get tainted and turned.
Well, we saw it happen, I think.
Yeah, right. And that's what I was thinking about. It's because we weren't, the Word of God wasn't our daily food then. We thought it was, but it wasn't.
I would have had to have been lying to myself if I thought it was my daily food.
Yeah.
You know, like most things, on the surface, that's not a bad heart. I mean,
to want the Spirit.
To want the Spirit.
Oh, but, yeah.
I mean, we pray every time we get together for the Spirit. The
right.
difference is we want the Spirit based upon and asking for revelation of the Word. Not, we want the Spirit to follow, so I'm going to feel good, or I'm going to be able to express, feelings of love towards my brethren. I mean, for all the wrong, non-godly reasons.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's where it ended. That people, that's what they want. They wanted to be feeling good. Yeah. You know,
and it did feel good.
It did feel good. Well, at the time.
That was the elegance of the deception.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't all bad. I mean, it wasn't all deception. But there were times in the spirit that were really, really uplifting and really, really good.
Yeah. But I remember when it started, when Keith heard and said, "We got to be in the Word. We got to start listening to the Word." That was the little murmurings I started hearing. Wow, now we got to have the Spirit. You know, just little comments off to the side, you know, you'd hear. The Word. What do you mean you want
to
Word?
To the natural,
we just need the Spirit.
We just need the Spirit.
Yeah.
The Spirit's
Which
probably was kind of me for a little bit.
It was a real downer, this Word.
don't bother with me with facts.
Well, you know, I was no different than anybody else. When I heard that, I had to do a lot of soul searching. You know, I had to realize that I really don't know that word.
I think the word had become dry, so yeah, it wasn't appealing.
Yeah, right.
You know.
And kind of piggybacking on that, you know, your comment about, you know, you pick up Joel and you read it and you read the promises and you go, hey, this is really good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's really good stuff because we've been in the Word as long as we have.
Yeah.
We don't, this was always this, but we now have so much more spiritual insight as to what's really being said and what's really being promised.
Oh, it takes the Spirit.
The Word.
Right.
Because we're saying, Jesus, this is really good. It's kind of like, well, why is this so good? I'm going, well, because we're not looking at it the same way anymore.
No.
You know, we're not coming at it.
Right.
We're not coming at it, and I don't want to say babes, although I might be close, but we're not coming at it grounded in the Word with a heart for the truth. Which is changes us so much.
The natural man reads this and is confused and troubled. You know?
Well, and I'm not saying I'm not confused a little bit.
He has no choice.
All right.
Well, we are good at making up, filling in the blanks, even though we don't have any revelation.
Mm.
Can't wait on God.
I have to ask a stupid question, but does anyone know what that thing is that's sitting next to Charlie?
What was that?
What's the brown thing on your arm there, Charlie? Is it a lampshade?
It's a paper.
Does anyone know?
It's Chinese lantern. Is that, huh? What?
It's purposely made to resemble a hornet nest.
Oh, okay. Well, it does that too.
You hang it anywhere on your property? You won't have another one.
Yeah. I guess that's... they don't have to be this good either, I don't think. Just a brown paper bag all jammed, you know, we're told.
Yeah.
You know.
Because they wouldn't infringe on one another.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what it's for.
Okay. Well, you ought to put it out.
Well, we're going to put it somewhere.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but I think you might have just a little too much idle time.
I didn't know about that.
Well, but you came into possession of it. Did Curtis bring it in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe they had a big Horace problem out there. I don't know. I
you put that up and you don't get another one. trying to get the other ones.
Well, that was a hard right turn, left turn, U-turn.
Yeah, I believe it's the key to yeah, that's like Joel too. Joel too.
If I don't say something, I won't remember it.
I figured you looked over there and went, "Oh, I was going to tell these guys about that."
I'm sitting here thinking, and people are going, "Where is Joel?" Corky's going, "Well, I've got cheater tabs, so I know where."
You know, and I did realize why I didn't realize that right now I have like about 6 books that are playing in my jukebox thing that got recorded. Well, one of them was Hebrew, so for the last 3, no wonder that's what I've been hearing. And so then, you know, when it got brought up, it was like, but I was only hearing, you know, you just hear, and then all of a sudden. Sometimes when you read, then it gets brought right into.
Yeah, I think I shared, I don't know, it was probably about 1.5 years ago. So the tape is going, and, you know, you're in the room, and when you're out of the room, you're in the room. And I heard the same verse about 6 times in a 1.5 days, you know, like. So I said, "Okay, God, I heard it. I get it." So I wrote it down, looked it up, and shared it, and I said, you know, it's the old adage, you got to get hit by a 2x4 or for the Lord to get seriousness. So it's like that, you know. You're on it, and all of a sudden someone says, "Hey."
Well, it's easy to remember where the verses are. 10 or 8, 10, and 10, 16.
In Hebrews?
Yeah. 8, 10, and then 10, 16. And the thing about it is that it gives us a real a picture into the and the economy of God. Would that be the way to put it? Because this is what he wants to do, and this is what he couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
He's gonna write the word on our hearts and in our minds, and. And we're going to know him. How are we going to know him? We're going to know him by the word. We're not going to know him by a picture, because somebody painted a picture of God. You can't do that. God's a consuming fire. You're going to hear, you know what? If I never met you guys, any one of you, and I talked to you for 2 hours every day on the phone, after a while I would know you.
Sure.
Would you want that?
Yeah,
not me. I don't talk for 2 hours on the phone.
I mean, you might be on the phone every day,
though. Maybe 2 minutes.
Right.
You know, but
shorter.
Yeah. I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah,
the more time you spend, the more you get to know.
So you will know me from the least to the greatest. How? Oh, by the word. That's the only way you can know God. No man has ever seen God at any time.
And
that's the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father.
I think the only way to know God's heart is to know his word. I mean, there's things about God you can know. Without being really deep into his word, but to truly understand his heart.
Yeah, I heard the voice that said,
As illuminated by the Spirit, I think, but yeah.
If you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And I understand it all now, but at the time I didn't. Do you find God by listening to him? Of course you do. That's why a lot of people don't know God. They don't listen to him.
Yeah. But somewhere in here, and I can't remember where it is, it talks about knowing God, but it takes more than just knowing God. It says you have to honor God.
Well, you're right. We have to do something like honoring. We can't just, you know.
And I don't remember where that is.
I just went back into Hebrews and was speaking of Jesus in 8:6. But now he has attained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second.
Mm.
Yeah. And you wonder, how could there be fault on the first one? If God made it, would it be perfect?
No, buddy.
But you know what? Like everything else, the fault is because of who we are, not of who he is.
Well, you know, it unfolds the way it unfolds, and until it's the end is there, it's all incomplete, and you know, it's not.
Well, here in Hornsweiler, it was symbolic for the present time.
Symbolic for the present time.
Which both the gifts were, you know, offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. So, you know, it was there.
Galatians, that it says that the law was added because of man's transgressions.
Yeah. You wouldn't have known sin without the law.
Yeah. But it was added because of man's sins. You mean that was added? Was that the original thing? You don't sound like it, does it?
Yeah. Couldn't find a good translation there, or a good example, I think. I mean, there are some about honoring God. 2 Peter 1:17, when God is talking about Jesus, he received honor and glory from God the Father, not necessarily us honoring God.
It is not a concept alien to the Bible, you know.
Well, no, there's lots of, I just was searching on honor God, and
yeah.
There's 7,000 plus verses that show honor or God, and so, you know, honoring God is the same, but 342 verses, both, you know, so. But I'll have to look when I'll be peeking my door. Piqued my interest, now I got a lake it coming up a little dry. Can't find the reference.
They can be so tough sometimes.
I can't even begin to.
I doubt I won't be able to then either.
I think you're going the wrong way.
There we go.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I was sitting at church that one day and I couldn't get mine open.
No, that's when you just don't worry about drink. Ends.
I've used my teeth before.
You get what?
Teeth.
Yeah, I squished.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It was dripping and it came off. Whoosh. Out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. realizing it, I think we've come into one of the most major parts of our salvation. You know, eternal life is known the only true God and Jesus Christ who he has sent. That's what eternal life is. That's not just an empty promise either. This is life eternal. That they would know you, the only true God. The only true God. And Jesus Christ.
Whom he has sent.
You know what I mean? But we have to know him too, that's what it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells us that to know him, that he's the only one that can reveal the Father to us. And of course, that's what it says in the first chapter.
It might not exactly mean to know both, though. It may be that to know God requires Jesus Christ in there. It's a deal, you know.
Yeah. Well, because in another place it says you can't go to the Father except through Christ.
Yeah.
You know, through Jesus Christ. Yeah. So they are linked, but it's saying the end result is to know the only true God, and that's why that's why you have to have the Son.
Yes.
And the ultimate is to know the true God.
Uh-huh.
But to know the Son. It's kind of like knowing the true God, in a way, I think.
You've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yep. Yeah.
According to Jesus, he's there.
Yeah.
They're not the same, but he showed who the Father was in himself.
But anyway, to understand verse 9, you got to read 10 along with it. You know, we're talking about 14 and 9. He that has seen me has seen the Father. But the next one says, because it's the Father that's in him that's doing the works.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He does the...
So that's how you see the Father.
Yeah.
You see the Father through the works that he was doing.
Right.
That's why I say one of the best illustrations that I ever had was when I was a little kid. And they said, who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the trees bow down their heads, the wind is passing by. So do you see the wind? Yeah, you do.
That wind's been fascinating me a lot more lately.
See the trees whipping around.
Yeah. It's, and you're feeling it on your face, but you can't see it. It's crazy. It's just like the Spirit. So like the Spirit.
Well, this was good. It was strange, but it was good.
Yeah, it was very good in a shorter time than I
Yes.
All meaty stuff.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about it lately. The fact that to know God is eternal life. And you ain't gonna know him by seeing him. You don't want to see him at any time. So how are you gonna know him? And Jesus says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Because it's just what you see him by the things that you see him do through me. That's what he's saying. And Philip, I don't think, I don't even know that satisfied Philip. You can show us the Father would be satisfied. Come on, Philip.
Mm-hmm.
You and her on the island, you know that you can't see God. But Jesus made himself real.
I think he was having a big dose of natural man.
Yeah.
You know, just.
Yeah.
Philip, if I had a long time with you. And you don't know me? That would be a hard thing to realize, wouldn't it? That would be hard to get that picture.
When does Bonnie go for surgery?
What was that?
When does Bonnie go for surgery?
Today.
Was it today?
Yeah, it's nothing we didn't call. I put out a little note. Hmm. Just talk to Susan.
When we were talking about the wind, I had a little flashback when I went out with this guy to Colorado with the muzzleloader for elk. And I remember the one day we were going to this one particular mountain. It was called, what the heck was it called again? Oh, it'll come to me maybe, but anyway. If you went up the one side, it was like you're on your hands and knees. It was that steep. And or otherwise you could try to wind it, but when you got up it all flattened out and it was like old forest growth. So I got over to the one side. Well, then I could see the highest mountains that were in that area we were in, and they were at like 14.5 or something, and I was probably at 11.5. So, but I got to the edge, well, everything kind of dropped, and then there was all these wooded side mountainsides over there, and I was standing there, and all of a sudden it was like this fog just developed in one spot, and it just went down in the trees and kind of, and I can remember going, so the Holy Spirit's falling, you know, and then it would be like all of a sudden it'd be over in another spot. It wasn't like covering the whole thing, it was just these little pockets. And it just made me think of, you know, the Holy Spirit falling in us, maybe a town or, you know, a group of people. It had a real effect on me. And it was so magnificent standing up there. And I think it snowed and then the sun come out. And, it was pretty cool. Lizard Head, maybe that was the name of it.
Hmm.
Yeah, we would call those God things.
Yeah.
If you catch a moon coming up from the rising at night, and if it comes up before the sun sets, so it comes up and the sun is striking it, it's orange, but because it's coming up through the atmosphere, it's magnified and the moon just looks huge.
Right.
It comes up and it just looks huge. My wife is now tracking down information.
Oh, are we through?
We can be. Yeah.
Well, we're kind of talking. I was wondering if we wanted to stop the date. We got kind of off on some tangents. Good ones, but
love you all.
We didn't.